It's September 11th, 2023, and these are today's headlines. The Texas Senate took the weekend off from their impeachment trial of Attorney General Ken Paxton. But even though the trial was paused for a couple days, the conversation still continued through the weekend as more and more people have engaged with Texas Scorecards coverage and other conservative voices speaking out about the process. We'll talk about what we've seen so far today, but first, let's refresh our memory on how we got here, especially if you're just now following this impeachment trial. In October of 2020, a group of so-called whistleblowers went to the FBI and accused Ken Paxton, the elected attorney general, of abusing his office in order to help Nate Paul, a real estate developer. In the following weeks and months, this group of employees eventually left the office, many of them resigning. In 2021 and 22, the so-called whistleblower case was the center of the campaigns of Paxton's primary opponents, people like Louie Gohmert, Eva Guzman, George P. Bush. When the race went to a runoff, Paxton beat Bush 2-1. He later went on to handily beat his primary opponent for a third term in office, his Democrat opponent, rather. That takes us to 2023. At the beginning of this year, Paxton's office attempted to reach a settlement with some of the whistleblowers for $3 million. This isn't unheard of and is fortunately or unfortunately a legal money-saving tactic that sometimes has to be made, especially when facing a Travis County court that could drag out the process for months, years, and maybe tens of millions of dollars. That was when the House began investigating behind closed doors. The House General Investigating Committee, led by State Representative Andrew Murr, hired a group of lawyers to serve as investigators. Over the course of several weeks, they talked to witnesses, but they didn't place them under oath. Who didn't they talk to? Ken Paxton, of course. Then at the end of May, suddenly the committee released their report. And 48 hours later, the House voted for impeachment, with 61 Democrats and 60 Republicans voting to send the impeachment articles over to the Senate. That brings us to where we are now, where we're finally getting sworn testimony from those involved in the case. You may remember last week, if you've been following this trial, one of those whistleblowers, Ryan Bassert, said he went to the FBI with no evidence. Another on Friday, David Maxwell, says he made claims to House investigators that he didn't know if they were true or not. Let the House figure that out. That's their job. Testimony has continued, starting this morning with Mark Penley, former Deputy Attorney General for Criminal Justice. A common theme has emerged from both Penley and Maxwell, who testified late on Friday. They've both alleged as part of their grievances against Paxton and as proof that he was abusing his office to help Nate Paul, the fact that Paxton asked them to look into alleged misbehavior from the FBI after Nate Paul was part of a federal raid. Both witnesses have essentially said that was out of the question. Other witnesses have testified that they trust the FBI wholeheartedly. Meanwhile, Republican primary voters in Texas, of course, have a different view. Around 70% in recent polling saying they don't trust the FBI. This is the same FBI that went and raided President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. Yes, that FBI. According to Mark Penley, Nate Paul told Ken Paxton that he had some evidence that suggested that the FBI search warrant may have been digitally manipulated while the search was underway. Paxton told Penley to look into it. Penley, in speaking with the FBI, determined that there wasn't anything there and told Paxton as much. Paxton asked him to relay that to Nate Paul. Penley then apparently slow-walked his investigation, despite being asked to do so by his boss, Attorney General Ken Paxton. In fact, this is another point that's becoming more of a theme as more of these witnesses, so-called whistleblowers, have continued to come out. As we learn more about these so-called whistleblowers, they begin to look more like rogue employees that regularly disobeyed their boss's orders. They thought they knew better than him, and when they were challenged on this, they ran to the FBI with no evidence. That's certainly the picture that's being painted by Paxton's lawyers right now. The prosecution has also brought forward Missy Carey, Paxton's former chief of staff, who used her opportunity to talk about her knowledge of an affair Paxson engaged in. He later apologized to his staff for, along with his wife, Angela Paxson. This was mentioned on one of the first days of the trial. It's the kind of sordid discussion that may spark headlines, but ultimately looks like it has little to do with the impeachment charges being brought against him. Remember, there's 20 impeachment charges that the House brought against him. These are the charges that the Senate has to consider. At this point, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who has served as the presiding judge in these proceedings, has said these hearings will go till around 7 p.m. every night this week, and that given the amount of time each side has left, we can expect to wrap up around Thursday or Friday of this week. Then it will be up to the senators to decide. And how long that decision takes for them to deliberate remains to be seen. The prosecution needs 21 senators, or two-thirds, to remove Paxson from office. In other news, in a discovery revealed exclusively to Texas Scorecard, the American Accountability Foundation, a nonpartisan watchdog group, has uncovered a shocking email sent by a Texas A&M professor. The email was found as part of an open records request from UT Austin. AAF had sent the request as part of due diligence into their College of Communications journalism professor, Kathleen McElroy. As Texas Scorecard has documented, McElroy was recently the subject of controversy after she was nearly hired as Texas A&M's journalism school director before declining the offer following public backlash for her background in pushing divisive racial narratives. While the investigation revealed little new about McElroy, the documents released included an email from Texas A&M professor Nathan Crick to McElroy, where he decried the Board of Regents for, quote, holding on to their Texan whiteness. He further suggests that Regents possess, quote, bags of oil money. Just another reminder, while it's easy to roll our eyes and dismiss left-wing ideology in universities, when it comes to public colleges like UT or A&M or any of the other ones, these are taxpayer-funded entities and should be held accountable to voters through the legislature. Last up, in a bit of electoral news, another Democrat says they want to challenge Senator Ted Cruz next year. Democrat State Representative Carl Sherman made his announcement over the weekend saying he's ready to, quote, fight for all Texans. His record, however, shows a strong adherence to leftist values. While he says he's ready to fight for all Texans, he recently earned a 5 out of 100 rating from Texas Right to Life and opposed the Texas Heartbeat Act, which made it illegal for an individual in Texas to kill an unborn child once the baby's heartbeat was detected. Sherman has also earned a career F rating on Texans for Fiscal Responsibilities Index. His current rating for the 2023 legislative session is a 29 out of 100. Sherman enters an already crowded Democrat primary field that includes Congressman Colin Allred, Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez, and former Nueces County District Attorney Mark Gonzalez. The filing deadline is in December, so we will see if any other Democrats step up to announce their own campaigns. The winner of the Democrat primary will challenge Cruz in November of 2024. For more news of the day, follow me on X at BWaltons or go to TexasScorecard.com.